unless you're sitting down, Suj, doing that press conference next to Pep Guardiola, because he just doesn't really give a fuck.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Tuesday. This is your patron special. So it's a UEFA Champions League focused podcast. It restarts again today. Should we, though, because they're patrons, James, and they get, you know, more than everybody else, just cover off yesterday's game?
No. Got Tottenham tomorrow, mate.
Oh, yeah, we do as well, actually. We can talk about it more tomorrow.
Makes sense, but, doesn't it? We'll do a whole West Ham Bournemouth debrief tomorrow. Unless you're desperate to talk about handball divisions now.
To be honest with you, I got home about 11:30, 11:45, so I didn't watch the highlights. So I didn't know the incident at all till probably about 15 minutes ago before we were starting recording. I was like, shit, let me go on Sky Sports YouTube and have a look at this handball. Because I didn't know what kind of handball it was, other than
it was handball.
In the car on the way home, they were talking about it, but it was people talking about something that I hadn't seen, so I didn't really know what they were talking about. So it was Kehrer's handball. It was, I think, the argument that some were making was that his hands were in front, like in a natural position. They weren't out and making his body bigger. And then other people are making the point that his arm moved towards the ball. And then therefore it is a handball. I think Zamora's was definitely a handball because his arms are so wide, but Kehrer's could have got given. Kehrer's could have got given. The reason I won't say it should have got given is because I don't know what the rule is now.
Okay.
You look at the one by Eric Dyer. Was it Eric Dyer where he was had his back and it hit his arm, and it's so unintentional. And I think there's this kind of debate now of what's intentional and unintentional. But then in the box, I thought it doesn't matter whether it's intentional or unintentional. If it touches your hand in the box, it's a handball.
Let's have a deep discussion on it tomorrow on the handball rule. Because I think
on
it probably... Rule. Yeah, because I think there's so many people don't, and it's not anyone's fault. Other than it's the lawmakers' faults, I think there's so many people don't understand like what's right and wrong, and I think actually by law it's correct that the goal stands, and that's a major issue because that doesn't feel right. You gained an advantage from a handball, whether unintentional or not. His hand moved. He didn't just hit him. His hand moved at the time. Even if it was completely involuntary and accidental, his hand moved to the ball and it was like a volleyball spike. So let's talk about it more tomorrow, because I think it's a deep debate
Antonio,
needs to be had on
right?
it.
When he chested the ball, but he used his arms to kind of create a kind of...
Do you remember what I said about that goal?
That shouldn't have stood, but it was a second phase of play. But then, interestingly, Kehrer had more control of his arm touching the ball than Zamora did. Like Zamora, the ball was crossed and blasted, and he'd made himself bigger by putting his arms out fine. But he didn't put his hand towards the ball necessarily. He had less time to react.
Do we think Zamora's handball was intentional?
I don't think he at any point he thought, I'm going to stop the cross going in with my arm.
Exactly that. It's interesting. Let's talk about it tomorrow. Otherwise, we're not going to do Champions League here at all.
Sorry?
Let's talk about it tomorrow. Otherwise, we're not going to do Champions League at all.
Yeah. It's true. It's a funny one. Net, though, I think we deserve to win yesterday. So we'll talk about that in Tottenham tomorrow, patrons. Today is Champions League. I'm looking at my team. I got 82 points last week, which is decent. I think I went from like 200 and something thousand to 88,000, James. There's no game week history on this, is there?
No, I don't believe so, to be honest. But you can see if it's got a little red or a green arrow next to it or not.
Nah. But it's a green arrow for me. And up to 88K. And I've got my wild card left. You've got your limitless left, haven't you?
Are you doing wild card now, are you?
No.
You're just going to do it in the last week?
Last week. Okay, I'll see who's qualified and who hasn't qualified and who needs to still win their games to go through, and I'll try and figure out an all-in strategy for that.
Okay. I got 105. Monster. And I've gone up overall to just outside top 4K. So considering I've still got the Limitless left as well, which it's not my intention to use it as per se Limitless. It's more as a free hit for game week 6, which is now what it sounds like you're doing with a wild card as well. Diogo Costa, what a hero in goal at Porto. So in match day 3, he kept a clean sheet, penalty save, and saved 6 shots and got man of match. Match day 4, he also saved the penalty, also kept a clean sheet, 5 shots saved, no man of the match this time though. Oh, he got an assist instead. 31 points over the 2 games for the keeper. Absolutely blinding, rendering my need for Gianluigi Donnarumma absolutely dead. Returns across the back line, 8 for Ronaldo, 8 for João Cancelo, 6 for Nuno Tavares, 4 for Sergio Ramos, Zielinski, 5. Our mate at Napoli, what a superstar this boy is going to be. Old Kvicha Kvaratskhelia, 13 points for him. 3 points for Mohamed Kudus is essentially my only real blank. Mo Salah with just the 16 points off the bench against Rangers in that 7-1 mauling. 18 for captain Kylian Mbappe, which I held. Harry Kane, 9, which obviously should have been 15, but for late sky penalty. So, it should have been arguably 111. So, good. Very pleased with that. Before I talk about plans for this week, and I wouldn't say they're locked in concrete for myself, let me take you through where we're at with the groups, because I think that's very relevant for people's thinking. So in Group A, Napoli are qualified, 100% record so far, following their 4-2 victory against Ajax. Just the 10 goals scored in their doubleheader against Ajax. They remain the only team unbeaten in Serie A as well. Absolutely flying at the minute. They won 1-0 against good old Jose's Roma in Rome at the weekend with a late goal by Victor Osimhen. Liverpool are 3 points behind them. Obviously, any victory for Napoli would obviously take them to 15. A Liverpool victory as well would give them the opportunity to overtake Napoli in match day 6, but it would have to beat Napoli by 3 goals or more.
It could be more, right? If Liverpool only win 1-0 today and Napoli win 6-0 today.
No, well, it goes on the head-to-head first, Suj. The reason I say 3 goals or more is obviously Liverpool lost 4-1 to Napoli.
So it's their own head-to-head.
Right. Correct. So obviously if Liverpool beat Napoli 4-1 next week, if they both win this week, then yes, it would come down to goal difference. Otherwise, it comes down on the head-to-head, as far as I'm aware. For Ajax to qualify, they must beat Liverpool tomorrow evening, and they must beat Rangers in match day 6 and hope that Napoli would go to Anfield and win in match day 6. So a draw for Liverpool would confirm them qualified, but also would probably mean they can't win the group. They really need to win both, you think, to win the group. Rangers, obviously, bottom of the tree on 0 points and were held at home by Livingston at the weekend, so not all necessarily well with them. In Group B, Club Brugge have still not conceded a goal, didn't even win the Belgian league outright, but have absolutely smashed it in this group. No goals conceded, just the 7 scored, but 10 points. And although I've seen a few say that they're through and qualified, I still think there's a mathematical miracle where they might not, but they are essentially through with 2 games to spare. Porto are on 6 points following an excellent 3-0 win in Germany, which included that against Leverkusen, which included that Diogo Costa assist. Atletico and Leverkusen, who meet each other this week, are on 4 points. Porto go to Belgium to face Bruges. The loser of Atletico and Leverkusen would be out, barring a miracle. In fact, I'm just looking mathematically. No, they would almost certainly be out. Group C, Bayern obviously maintain 100% record. They were 4-0 up in Pilsen in match day 4, conceded a couple of goals in the second half. Barcelona drew 3-3 at home to Inter Milan, a little bit of a car crash for a game, which means victory for Inter against Pilsen tomorrow night will eliminate Barcelona from the Champions League, irrespective of what they do against Bayern Munich. Barca have to better Inter's result and then have to overtake them essentially in match day four, which if they can narrow...
They're better in the Spanish league than I thought they were, Barca. I didn't realise they were second quite comfortably. I thought they were having a...
No, they're doing fine. I mean, they lost El Clasico 3-1 to Real Madrid, not this weekend, the weekend before. No, not overly at the moment. Look, they did land in a very, very tough group. I'm obviously looking at it going, yep, smash them in the Europa League with Arsenal. That'll do me. Pilsen, unsurprisingly, on 0 points. Inter on 7, Barca on 4. The reason Inter will qualify, if obviously they beat Pilsen tonight, is they would guarantee themselves at least a 3-point advantage over Barcelona and obviously have the better of the head-to-head, having beaten Barcelona 1-0 at home. In Group D, the mighty Tottenham Hotspur have done their best to absolutely fuck this group up, really. Now sit top on 7 points. A victory against Sporting Lisbon tomorrow night would guarantee us qualification, coupled with a victory for Frankfurt against Marseille would also guarantee us top spot. I can't say I'm full of confidence at the moment, though, Suj. We're on 7 points, Lisbon and Marseille on 6 points, Frankfurt on 4. It's still arguably the most open group. Everyone can qualify. In Group E, and obviously going on to the games...
You could be reasonably confident, Jay. I think you'll win.
No, I do think
we'll win. It'll be a Conte masterclass. You're only going to win 1-0, but you will win.
I think we're going to be helped by the fact that Pedro Gonçalves, who did wonders for you last year in UCL Fantasy, is suspended tomorrow night well. So that's a little bit of a bonus. But we are, as I said to you on Monday, we are muddling through, Suj. Onto the games obviously taking place tonight. And the note should be, first and foremost, the early kickoffs are Red Bull Salzburg against Chelsea and Seville against Copenhagen. Seville could be an interesting one for me and you, Suj, if we're looking at 1 week punts potentially. They've obviously changed manager very recently. And I think there's a couple of Chelsea options that can be considered this evening as well. Chelsea now have top spot in Group E following back-to-back victories against Milan, which were much needed. Salzburg are on 6 points. Milan and Zagreb both on 4. So again, this group is quite open. Zagreb essentially only have the 1 point since beating Chelsea in match day one. Milan have Zagreb and Salzburg to go. And interestingly, you could make a case to say that of the teams still competing to qualify, they might have the best remaining two, them and Chelsea. Those two teams arguably should be targeted if you're looking for a player for 2 weeks. So that group's wide open. Essentially, irrespective of Chelsea's result tonight, if they beat Dynamo Zagreb in match day 6 at home, they will definitely qualify. So even if they lose tonight, that would obviously put winning the group in a lot of danger. But if they beat Zagreb in match day 6, they will definitely qualify. Obviously, also, if they win tonight as well, they will definitely qualify. In Group F, Real Madrid are through. 10 points. Needed a very, very late-headed Antonio Rudiger equaliser in Warsaw against Shakhtar Donetsk in match day 4. But they are through on 10 points. And Red Bull Leipzig have recovered to go second in the group following back-to-back victories against Celtic. Their Bundesliga performances and results are getting better as well. They've come into a little bit of form, having had a really slow start to the season, which included getting battered at home by Shakhtar in match day 1. Shakhtar on 5 points, Celtic on 1. Celtic have to win to stand any chance of staying in European competition. Obviously, getting through to the group, the knockout stage of the Champions League is a near impossibility now, considering Shakhtar and Leipzig play each other in match day 6. Even back-to-back victories is extremely unlikely to be enough, barring a miracle. In fact, I don't even think they can qualify, just looking at it now, because obviously if Leipzig drew with Shakhtar and Leipzig finished on 7 and Celtic finished on 7, Leipzig would have the better of the head-to-head. So Celtic are playing purely to try and get into Europa League. Shakhtar obviously still trying to compete with Leipzig to go through. In Group G, Manchester City are through and Dortmund highly likely to join them. That said, should Copenhagen pull off a shock victory in Seville and City win in Dortmund, it might make Dortmund nervous about going to Copenhagen in match day 6, because back-to-back victories for the Danes would then put them through. Equally, back-to-back victories for Seville in the event that Dortmund slipped up twice would also put them through a more difficult task for City, considering they have to go to the Etihad in match day six. City on 10 points, Dortmund 7, Sevilla and Copenhagen both on 2. City guarantee top spot with a draw. And interestingly as well, I think because of goal difference, it's highly likely that even a 2-1 defeat or a 3-2 defeat or a 4-3 defeat would mean City would find it very difficult not to finish in top spot as long as they won the final home game against Seville. And finally, in Group H, PSG and Benfica both on 8 points after back-to-back draws means it's going to be extremely difficult for either Juventus or Maccabi Haifa to qualify. Both of those teams would need to win both of their games to stand any chance of qualifying. Benfica will probably feel they can push PSG close to potentially finishing top of the group. PSG haven't run away with any of their games as yet. And in fact, PSG's goal difference is +3, as is Benfica's. So it could even come down to a goal difference shootout. I fully expect Benfica to beat Juventus tonight, despite the fact Juventus have to win. I think it might even play into Benfica's hands even more. I note they won the big game in Portugal away to Porto 2 weekends ago. They had 70% of the ball in Porto when winning 1-0. They are a very impressive team and are a team to avoid in the knockout stages. So PSG and Benfica highly likely to qualify from Group H. You would think that PSG will assess the situation and go for goals against Haifa this evening, which might make their assets even more interesting than perhaps they might ordinarily be for this sort of fixture. It does also mean that perhaps PSG will continue to play their strongest players, even with qualification in mind, because of the goal difference. That said, I was thinking about...
Looking at my team now, James, and I right-click Mbappe, make captain save.
I was thinking about this even more. I'm thinking, well, even if PSG were qualified, because of how Ligue 1 is, surely they always just play their strongest team in the Champions League anyway, which is different to say...
If they qualified, less so.
If City beat Dortmund tonight, as a different example... Like, they rest the team against Seville in match day six. They've earned the right to do what they want with it. But I think if PSG were in that position, the likes of Messi and that would still play in the Champions League, because Ligue 1 is Ligue 1, essentially. Let me take you through some important team news, if I may. I've been keeping an eye on this thread by an account, FPL Manual. It's the FPL Manual, which might be worth keeping an eye on. He keeps tagging and adding to this little thread that he's done that I've bookmarked. I'll share this on the UCL Fantasy channel, where he's adding team news as and when he gets it. So I'm going to do this in reverse order to make sure it's up to date. So Barcelona estimate that Andreas Christensen and Memphis Depay won't be available against Bayern Munich. For Borussia Dortmund, Daniel Malen is ill. Marco Reus has an ankle problem. And Rafael Guerrero has a muscle injury. They were all absent from training, but not confirmed out. There has been some speculation about AC Milan's Brahim Diaz not being available for their trip to Zagreb tonight. He has travelled. Sergiño Dest has not. Messi, Neymar and Mbappe are all confirmed in the PSG squad. Christopher Nkunku is fit for Red Bull Leipzig. Danny Olmo and Timo Werner are doubts. Antonio Rudiger, there's been some doubts about him as well. Got injured. I don't know if it was even in that moment where he scored the headed equaliser against Shakhtar. Came on as a substitute in the Liga at the weekend and also did the press conference last night, which is normally a giveaway that a player's going to start. Unless you're sitting down, Serge, doing that press conference next to Pep Guardiola, because he just doesn't really give a fuck.
Mr. Pep.
Yeah. Nuno Mendes is also available for PSG. So too is Pencil Kimpembe. Kalidou Koulibaly of Chelsea has missed training, wasn't available at the weekend, missed training before the Salzburg tie this evening. I'm presuming that he has not travelled currently. Di Maria, Paul Pogba and Chiesa of Juventus, all doubts. Bremer is also a doubt still as well. Leroy Sané is out of match day 5, but he is in light training, so a lot of you will own he might be back for the Inter Milan game in match day 6. That said, obviously they're highly likely to win the group, of course, if Bayern were to lose in the Nou Camp tonight and Inter beat Pilsen tomorrow night, sorry, then obviously an Inter victory in Munich would mean that Inter won the group. So they could still go strong in match day six. But considering they're not top of the Bundesliga at the moment, should they have the group wrapped up tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if they rested players against Inter, which certainly wouldn't help Barcelona's cause, even if they did get a positive result, or say those that them and Inter both lost this evening, or even if Barca got a draw and Inter lost. Cole Walker's obviously out for Manchester City. Calvin Phillips doing individual training. Few of you might own Pierre-Emil Højbjerg, who, do you have him, Suj? I feel like you might do, actually.
Yeah, obviously, I do.
Missed the game at the weekend. We don't have any confirmation yet. Champions League press conferences can be later than normal, say, Premier League press conferences. So it might be you don't get the information on him before deadline. Him and Romero obviously missed the game at the weekend. They were described as light injuries, but don't have the information on them at the moment. Luka Modric won't play for Real Madrid in their fixture in Leipzig. Neither will Fede Valverde, who's in incredible form, and neither will Karim Benzema. Sergi Roberto is out for Barcelona. A few players who missed match day four to note who are back available. Jamal Musiala of Bayern Munich, Lionel Messi, obviously. Alphonso Davies of Bayern Munich. Thibaut Courtois is also available now for Real Madrid. Manuel Neuer is out for Bayern Munich. Hernandez is out. Reece James is obviously out. And a few players that are suspended for you. I'll just run through these very quickly. Sergio Gomez, Tuta, Fikayo Tomori. Gian Mario, the defender, not the Benfica midfielder, Marco Verratti, Sauer, Ozkan, Stamenic, and Pedro Gonçalves, who I mentioned earlier, of Sporting Lisbon, all suspended. And I just got your WhatsApp message, Suj.
Yeah, I think I heard WhatsApp was down this morning, James. Someone messaged me, okay. WhatsApp's down. Facebook haven't been paying their internet bills or something.
So hopefully that gives, as I said,
now, so let's all WhatsApp each other.
I'll share that thread in the UCL fantasy channel, so perhaps keep an eye on that. That's one of the best ones I've seen in terms of team news roundup. Obviously, news will continue to filter today on those teams that obviously play tomorrow night, such as Tottenham, obviously. Where are you at with your team, Suj?
Well, I've got Reece James and Højbjerg.
Problems.
So I will be buying Alphonse Davies.
Of Reece Bayern James. Munich.
Yep. I know it's Barca. They're likely to score.
Barca? I mean, Bayern Munich are a power, aren't they? Obviously.
Yeah, I think, and he's got attacking threat as well, Davies. So I'm going to go with Davies, and then it means I can turn Højbjerg.
Wouldn't be to... my first choice buy, though, of
okay.
One
well,
week
I'm
punts.
Well, I'm selling Højbjerg and buying Kvaratskhelia.
Oh, the Napoli boy, the Georgian.
So Kvitcha. I have 6.4 million for a defender, James.
Okay, so a few I've been considering. I think the first choice for myself really would be Denzel Dumfries of Inter Milan, who's 5.5. I think he's not going to work for everybody, but I think he works for us on one-week punts. As I said earlier, I think if I was looking for a defensive player for both game weeks, ironically, I'd probably look at Chelsea with Salzburg away tonight and Salzburg in the final group game as well. And obviously, the one you'd really want is Reece James. I think Thiago Silva would probably... Well, no, obviously, I know that, mate. I think Thiago Silva is probably avoidable. And the reason I say that is, obviously, if Chelsea do the business tonight, he might just be giving you another headache for game week six in the sense that he might get suspended. So just looking at Chelsea prices defensive, I think Ben Chilwell will be popular, Suj. 5.5. Yes, you know the usual doubts with him. Azpilicueta is 5 million. Cucurella is 5 million. Chalobah is 4.5. Do we have
I've
any
got three free transfers, James? Why is that?
Yes, so have I. Well, because you would have rolled one last week, as I did, mate.
Oh, nice. So I can get rid of Højbjerg, Gundogan, and Reece James, and I can buy Dumfries, Kvaratskhelia,
Kvitcher,
and Zielinski.
Oh, just copying my team now, aren't you?
I'm just looking at who scored loads of points that I can afford. And I've got 1.6 million in the bank, so I can worry then just worry about it.
Yeah, if you want to save a bit more money, one I was looking at Napoli, Di Lorenzo's 5.1. I was looking at Matias Oliveira, who's 4.5. And if you want to save even more money, I was looking at Benfica, because they've got a 4.2 starter who's played all the games, Antonio Silva at centre-back. If you fancied him for a clean sheet at home to Juventus, I wouldn't be surprised, to tell you the truth. He's 4.2, and that might open up if you want to power up a little bit higher in midfield. That said, again, looking for one-week punts, I think the Napoli guys are absolutely reasonable.
I think I'm happy with that. I'm wildcarding out of it next week anyway.
If you were looking for the 2 weeks and you were looking to power into something for the two games, perhaps people might have, say, someone like Vlahovic, who's expendable. If I was going for the 2 weeks and selling Vlahovic, I'd definitely go for Rafael Leao of AC Milan. Okay. With the two games they've got left and they need points, they'll need to go to Salzburg and win tonight, for example. In the midfield area, obviously Mason Mount is obviously proving very popular for Potter at the moment. He's playing all the games. Again, it could be an issue if it falls into their place where they qualify tonight. But 8 million is quite interesting, I think, for Mason Mount. If you could get up to there, would that be where I'd want to go for the 1 week punt? No, not really. But for the 2 weeks, I think that's a possibility. And I wouldn't even rule out the likes for those looking both weeks. Jude Bellingham's scored in every Champions League game so far. I think he got his first Bundesliga goal at the weekend. What's that?
He's a top scoring midfielder in the game at 7.4. But I just don't think City's the game to be buying Jude Bellingham for.
No, that said, I'm not sure about selling Gundogan from your perspective, actually, Suj. Is that your biggest problem? I think he probably starts tonight.
You think so?
Probably.
Well, and the free transfers.
And the other thing to remember is he's playing tonight. So if it does fuck up, he's one of the ones. You're always better off. If you're going to take a punt, take it night one rather than night two. So he's the sort of one where if he played, he could haul, couldn't he? That's all I mean by that. So it might be he plays as a 10. So I'm not sure that's necessarily the one you want to bin. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's a tricky one, good man, because when he plays up as a number 10 and he's running on beyond Haaland, like, he can be a fucking machine.
For myself, there's two players I absolutely know that I want to get rid of, which are the two Juventus players, Vlahovic up front and Juan Cuadrado at the back. I just think they'll get beat in Benfica tonight, despite the fact they need the points. I think Benfica are far better than them. So I want to get rid of those two. The problem is I don't really know the third one I want to get rid of. So I was looking at potentially moving on Florentino of Benfica, who's obviously the 4.5 midfielder. He's doing absolutely fine as a 4.5. Just wondering if I could get an extra punt in. So one of the ideas I was looking at was our mate Jukla from Bruges, who's 5.8 and obviously really enables up front. That would allow me to get Dumfries at the back and push Florentino up to someone like, and to throw, again, I'd look at this as a one-week punt. Hakan Çalhanoğlu, how's my pronunciation, Nico? Terrible. He doesn't even need to say. Turkish midfielder is on a lot of the set pieces, 7.5. And I don't think he's necessarily a great asset, but home to Pilsen, he could get me returns. Another way I was looking at doing it was to go with Lautaro Martinez up front. It's quite interesting. Again, that Inter Milan fixture tonight. And if I went with Silva at the back, the 4.2 Benfica defender, that would allow me to get up to your mate, also of Benfica, João Mário. I haven't really decided.
He's sitting in my team right now.
I haven't really decided what I'm going to do as yet. The one that I think I've fallen on that I like best is, I wasn't considering at first, was Neymar. It's not that I wasn't considering Neymar. It's the fact that I've got three PSG players in. But as I know, there's only two players that I desperately want to get rid of, and those are the two Juventus players. I could probably sacrifice either Donnarumma or Ramos. So what I'm now looking at is going Vlahovic to Neymar, which is only $1 million difference, because Neymar's 10 million, Vlahovic is 9 million. I can still get Dumfries in, and I drop Donnarumma down to a 4.5 million keeper. And that's what I'm favouring doing tonight. Well, I think my choices from that would be choice of two as 4.5 million keepers. I have a Kepa of Chelsea, who's 4.5. And I think he's a great one if you're looking for the two games especially. Or the other one I was looking at, and those who listen to Sky will love this, is David Raya of Brentford. No, sorry, Matty Ryan of Seville. Matty Ryan in goal of Seville is 4.5. So could be him at home to Copenhagen. So I think that's the way I'm going to lean. And that feels strongest then. I think add the second PSG attacker, considering we're saying they may well go for goals here tonight as well. And yes, like you, the captaincy plan for tonight is Mbappe.
Yeah, Mbappe today, if that fails, then I'll be moving to Harry Kane tomorrow.
Basically. Sure, Harry?
That's my plan.
You sure, Harry?
As opposed to, who else have I got playing tomorrow?
Early kickoffs, just for notes, are Bruges against Porto. Inter is the early kickoff tomorrow. Now, I don't see any reason why the likes of, I presume Martinez and Dzeko will probably be the front two, I would guess, for Inter Milan.
I haven't got many players tomorrow, mate. I've got Kane, Dumfries, Nuno Tavares, Perisic and Ratashkelia.
Well, I've also got Mo, and you know, look, Liverpool scored 7 in their last away game in the Champions League, and Ajax conceded 6 in their last home game. So I don't think that's the worst call either. But I'm thinking about our mate Kvicha, mate, against Rangers. He's absolutely dynamite, actually. And they're just absolutely flying at the moment. They've got the best XG of all the 32 teams competing in Champions League so far in the competition as well. And all the big boys are beginning to look at him. So I don't think there's any let off. So I might even punch Kvicha tomorrow night. The chances are, yeah, I'll probably go with Harry if I need to.
So we won't need to make that decision. But,
yeah, even more the chances are Mbappe will probably go off. It probably won't matter.
Nice. You are talking to Lee Jackson today about Aston Villa.
I am. Yeah, we'll have that a little later for you on the fan view. Aston Villa conveniently announcing Unai Emery last night as new permanent Aston Villa manager from November the 1st, which is next Tuesday. That's something to do with a work permit issue or something that he won't take charge at Newcastle. And nobody's allowed to say good evening anymore. Just be respectful.
Ask Lee Jackson to do good evening in a Birmingham accent.
I'm not going to do that. I might ask him to do it offline before we start, but I don't even know if Lee can do a proper Brummy accent. I'm going to ask you if he can do a proper Brummy accent.
He's got a twinge. It's not that hard for.
Well, one of the reasons I like Lee is when I first spoke to him, he didn't sound like a down and out Brummy. Love you, Brummy people. Cheers.
Cool. Patreon,
I'll also have Clash of the Correspondents for you on Patreon today as well, which I recorded last night with Tom and Bradley. Forget the fantasy stuff. A fire chat, honestly.
Good.
Really good.
Look forward to listening to that as well. And we'll be back with you tomorrow with Tottenham. We'll do a bit more of a rundown on
the handball law
and West Ham's new striker, James.
Who's that then?
The number 12. Flynn Downs.
Oh, stop all that nonsense. I watched a game about new striker. Don't be stupid, mate.
Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Good luck this week. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.